This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey everyone, this is John Paler, and I have Sharon LaFlamme here with me today, and we're gonna chat about the relationship between trauma and mental health. And I'm so excited to chat with Sharon because we follow each other on Twitter and what we're doing and in our lives, and she has an awesome energy, and I'm so excited to have her. So thanks for joining us on the show today, Sharon.
Oh, thank you, John. I am so excited to be here. And thank you all for being here and listening. And thank you, John, for the invitation. I so appreciate it. And I'm looking so forward to our conversation. So I want to thank you for the invitation to be here. And I want to thank everybody who's listening. And I hope you learned something. And if I can be of any service, please let me know.
So from here, I really want to know from your experience and what you do. Can you explain to the audience exactly what you do and sort of your expertise?
Sure. Well, I usually don't do this, but I'd love to just talk a little bit about how I got where I'm at. So I grew up in a traumatic childhood, and I always knew that I wasn't right. And I had ulcers in first grade and was not treated well by the medical community and basically tranquilized until I was a teenager. So I have been on a healing path my entire life, and I've healed myself through different modalities and experiences. And I've had really good success because I grew up in the self-help world. I've read like every book, and I always strove to, you know, grow and heal. And I wanted to heal my family as well. But I also am an empath, so I healed everyone in my path that I've been in, you know, experience with. So I've been a 44-year hairdresser, so I've helped lots of people. I've been a teacher for hairdressing. I've been a teacher for aerobics. I've been a teacher. Right now, I'm still doing meditation and yoga. And so I love to help people heal and become their best version of themselves in every aspect, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And on my path, finding tools to help me deal with the high activation, hypervigilant state of being traumatized, I found that the somatic experiencing work, which is a right brain experiential form of therapy, really moved the bar in my physiology and my ability to feel good in my body and safe and healed. And I'd love to explain a little bit about all that if you'd like.
I would love you to. I'd totally love you to. Yeah.
So the idea and why I want to connect the mental health aspect with trauma is when we get traumatized, and I have this really poor example of what I try to teach people, but we have the autonomic nervous system, and it comes into two branches, parasympathetic and sympathetic. And these are something that happen automatically, right? In our, in our brain, we always are looking for if we're safe or not, or if we have to run. And that's a neuroceptive capacity that we have that a lot of us don't recognize. And when we're first born, we come on board with a sympathetic full ability to scream, cry, and we also have just a dorsal vagal, which means we could put ourselves into a death-freeze state. But the ventral vagal is the system that we don't have. We have to build it. It takes about 20 years. And we need a care. And this is the system that gives us the social engagement, that I'm looking into your eyes. I'm talking softly. You know I'm a safe person. This ventral vagal gets myelinated. And it happens because there's a caregiver that's lovingly caring for you. and teaching you that you can have these high states, low states, and in between states, I had either low or high. My ventral vagal wasn't myelinated when I was young. I didn't have safety in my home. I didn't have security that helped that ventral vagal learn that you can be safe. Everything's okay. So the myelination process didn't happen, which is why in childhood trauma, once that lack of safety happens, it sends the signal to the body that you are in threat. And when you're in threat, your body responds in a survival mode. So the survival mode means one of the things is your gut, your digestive system gets cut off. You're now in your reptilian brain. So your cognitive brain gets shut off in trauma. You cannot think. Your body starts responding. So the gut shuts down because we have to prepare for fight, flight, or possibly freeze. So when the gut gets shuts down and high levels of cortisol are flooding your gut, you start to lose your microbiome, which is your immune system, which is your gut is where all your dopamine and serotonin and your feel-good hormone and lots of stuff is created here for your body's needs. So when your gut gets shut down, and if this stays the way it did for me in chronic stress and anxiety, because you're always on a threat state, now your body isn't producing the good hormones that the brain needs to feel good. So you're compromised. You also in your young age, and you're only in dorsal, and you've had an experience, because see, the ventral vagal is what gives us the ability to have capacity and resilience and move through different states of fear or happiness and do it fluidly. But when we're very young and we get a traumatic event, and even before we have a memory and we're pre-verbal, we still have a nervous system that responds. That nervous system still knows if those parents are screaming and hollering out there, and it has accepted it and has reacted to it. So if we've gotten into a dorsal vagal state in our young life, which is real easy to do because that's all we really have, activation or dorsal vagal, now we can talk about disassociation, which is something you know we're talking about. Freeze, which is a disassociative state to prepare the body to dorsal vagal prepares the body for dying. And so when you're really young and you've had these freeze disassociated states, it causes another shut off to the body and the brain, which is, you know, connected to a number of mental health conditions.
That's what I was going to say, Sharon. What you're saying is, so, you know, the one pole, like bipolar, this pole, you know, the high pole, the low pole, excuse me. And just everything else that you're talking about with depression, the dissociation, like I've experienced all of that myself. And so I mean, I completely empathize with you, and it makes sense. Like I don't know a lot of, you know, what I've learned is actually through you. And so for you to sit here and kind of explain it, it's so helpful for me to kind of put it in X, Y, Z. And I think it's important for people who are listening as well, because I think what you're saying is so, I think it'll give hope to a lot of people. You know, like for me, the fact that, oh, look at what's happened and look at where you are now and how you've been able to change. Because I think some people think, well, if this is the way it was, I'm not going to be able to change it now. But you, I mean, with your experience, your lived experience, what you've gone through, you've done it too. And I've been the same way. Like, I'm not like, okay, I'm just going to be controlled by this. I'm going to do things. I'm going to take a proactive approach. I can deal with this. I can manage, and I can live a long, healthy life.
Oh, so true. And a couple things come to mind, which I hope I remember. But one of them is, you know, trauma isn't an event. It's whether this person's nervous system can accept the overstimulation or violation of whatever is happening. And its ability to have the capacity is depending on how old and how well myelinated the nervous system is. So when we're very young, trauma could be just a loud noise. It could be anything, a parent fighting. Trauma isn't an event, but it's, the body still recognizes as overstimulating. I don't know how to handle it, and I've got to shut myself down from it. Because trauma happens when everything that we have, color, and what we see for color is a wave, and sound is a wave, and our emotions are a wave. So we like to be at a parasympathetic, relaxed state in our life, but there's always activation. And it might just stay, you know, low throughout the day, but at night we come down to rest, digest, and heal. Trauma happens to a nervous system in the parasympathetic right brain limbic system when the overstimulation was so much on the electrical system that the wave didn't complete. So I had an experience of falling off my bike when I was little, and I cried and I screamed and I hurt and I walked myself home, and I ended it up and it was gone. I can talk about it, but I don't have this visceral reaction because I didn't hold it and stop it, or it wasn't so overstimulating that I went into a freeze state. But trauma can happen. We can hold we can keep ourselves from having the completion, which I believe happens when we're socialized because we're taught. Mom and dad are saying, I don't want to hear that from you. I don't want you to be angry. I don't want you yelling. So we're authentically upset. We're having a reaction and we're told to shut down because they don't want to hear it. Well, that means the wave didn't complete. But when you're little, you could either be authentic to who I am, which is I'm so upset and I hate you so much right now. I want to scream. But I also know I have to survive. And these people, I need to survive. So I give up my true authentic self. I start behaving in a way that is acceptable. And I've also created a shutdown and a place in my body to keep this, these chemicals. And John, you know, cortisol and epinephrine and norepinephrine and adrenaline are powerful, more powerful than any pharmaceuticals we make. You know, we'll pull a car off of a baby. They get locked in our body. They create survival and threat states. They keep us in high activation, and they keep us full of anxiety, another mental, you know, illness. So it's like, and when it happens really young, we develop these maladaptive behaviors, and we don't recognize that, you know, it's simply us trying to survive.
Well, that brings up a question. You're talking about the parasympathetic part. Is that, and you said that it's the from my point, it's the one that you were talking about, not the dorsal, the other one. The ventral. And that's the one, the ventral. Is that, so then from at that point when he's upset and kind of going through it, that's when, like, for me as a caregiver, needs to help him understand and work through it, right? Is that what kind of you're saying?
Yeah, you've got it, John. So what? So his nervous system has little capacity and resilience as young. We haven't learned it, and and the nervous system hasn't myelinated, and so he needs the caregiver. So your nervous system is where he's going to get his resonance and coherence, bringing him in to your 6-foot space. Is your heart space is where your frequencies are going to connect, which is how we connect as humans, nervous system to nervous system. We can tell nervous system if I walk into a place and this is off neuroceptively, and he knows, I don't know what to do with this energy, and he needs help. And so your nervous system rising up into a fear state is not what he needs, because that's where it's all gonna start. Everyone's gonna start to feel and resonate with that. But if you have a calming presence, or there's somebody with a calming presence that can coherently, if he can get in close contact and safe, we are meant to coherently connect, which means if Which is what happens with our dogs. All the people I work with, I'm like, what's your dog doing? That's the indication of where your nervous system is, because they read our frequency and our nervous system. And your child will do the same. If they feel that calming presence, they'll start to resonate and come into rhythm. Their nervous system will start to come into rhythm, come down into parasympathetic, which is your relaxing, calming, rest and digest heal state. And that's what's going to train and teaches nervous system that it has fluidity, it has ability to come up, but it has ability to come down. And for a lot of us traumatized people, once I was up, I could be up for 3 days before I could get myself back down. Now I have an event and I'm calming down, but I didn't have the resilience. I didn't have the capacity in my ventral vagal system.
So you're kind of, it takes practice, right? Like for somebody who, I mean, we're so ingrained in how we are and how we react and how we feel about things, but it's something that we can teach ourselves. And like for me with my kiddos, because I also have a daughter too, so helping them through their stuff, like you were saying.
so true. And that's why the best way to heal a family is heal yourself, because when your nervous system comes into a resilient capacity and healed, you've removed the traumatic energy that is inside, then you're there for their nervous system in helping them gain what they need to build a nervous system. But if you think about it, safety is really where we find healing. And that's part of my job. Because if this little boy and your little girl, whoever, isn't feel safe right now, they're not going to come into your space and allow you to help them, right? They are animals. We're all reptilian animals. This all happens in our autonomic nervous system. We know if, hey, is this person safe? Going on in the background of our entire life is, am I safe here? Is this person okay? Or do I need to run like the Dickens because I'm not safe? And so safety, and we have to find safety in our body first. And if we're under threat in high anxiety, then it's called global high intensity activation, where the body is just way up here all the time. It can't get down into parasympathetic. We aren't safe. And safety isn't, oh, I feel just fine and safe. Safety is, I am safe. My body's relaxed. My heart rate is down. My breathing is full. My consciousness is open. My receptivity is high. My expansiveness is open and alive, not constricted, tight, ready to fight, which is where we started with, you know, one of the first things happening is the gut gets shut down. The tension in the body, the high activation of the heart rate and the breath, all preparing to focus in on the predator, whatever's threatening me. And that state is habitual, like anything else. If you grew up with it and you didn't have the opposite. So I love to train people with their nervous systems. I like to say, you know, hey, when was the last time you asked yourself, hey, how do I feel right now? Do I feel landed in my chair and available and relaxed and here? Or do I feel like, oh, I'm up here in this anxiety, stress place, and I just, you know, feel not connected, which is why what you said, everything that you talk about, I always say like, yes, John, because you put your body into your daily work. When you work out and you connect yourself with your body, because this is where trauma is. In our body, which is why you feel so much better. And we also use our body and come into our body. We start connecting our right, left brain, our nervous system. We come into the wholeness of our health and vitality when we're totally connected. And so it's such a great resource to find ways of coming into your body, and not just in meditation and, you know, checking in and come into your breath, because those are great. But when we need it, like, for 40 years, I had to run, I had to do aerobics, I had to do, you know, something that used all that energy that was trapped inside.
Yeah, I totally hear you. Because Sharon, when you spoke about, you know, connecting each day or when you, throughout the day, like, where am I at right now? I do that. I've learned to do that so much. And that's helped me in, like, I mean, like you said, connecting with yourself. And, you know, like in the morning, like even this morning when I got up, you know, for me, sometimes I don't know if that which way I'm going to go. Sometimes I don't know, like ever a lot of people, but then I can be like, okay, well, this is what I need to do. And I'm able to focus. Like I knew you and I were going to have our chat. And so I did a few things like getting prepared and mentally in a good spot. And I do that throughout the day too, just to see where I'm at. And that's why I think it's so important. The things that we do, like what we watch, what we eat, what we take into our bodies, our, what is the word? Like if you, when you watch shows like the news or whatever, everything that you kind of absorb, what you allow into yourself impacts. And like, I've learned that over the past few years with the work I've been doing, I found that those, you know, doing simple things like that, it helps you grow in so much, like in so many ways. And in terms of like the activity, you know, like for me, I love to work out every day. And, you know, I was weightlifting for during the COVID-19. And now I do this, I don't know if you've heard of P90X, but I do P90X3, which is like a 30-minute workout, but it incorporates so much stuff. I love it. It's like yoga, Pilates, weightlifting, cardiovascular, and I love that. So yeah, I just everything you're saying, complete, it's always resonated with me, what you the things you talk about, and you know, you
that is so cool. And it's the perfect way to take care of yourself, is incorporate, you know, a broad band of things that make you feel good, that bring you into a state of feeling good about yourself. Because like you said, threat can be real. You can't hear me? Tell me when you can hear me.
Sure. Okay. Oh, here it goes.
I got you again.
You know, man, I'm sorry.
It's probably my Wi-Fi too. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can hear you now and I can see you now. So
what you were saying about like a broad way, which is why I've always connected with you too, because you've used the physical, the mental, emotional, spiritual, you connect with the body. These are ways we support ourselves and we support our nervous system, because threat, keeping ourselves out of threat, it's real. I can see this threat and I have to respond, but it's also imagined. We can talk ourselves into, oh gosh, I got a conflict coming, or I've got to do this. And you can scare yourself into a high state of activation. And what you said about what I'm listening to, how is that going to affect me? I haven't watched the news for years. It is designed to put you into a state of fight or flight. And now you're ill, you're sick. I have autoimmune illness, because once your gut gets shut down, your ability to produce good hormones and good microbes and your immune system goes to shot, now you start getting autoimmune illnesses too. So taking care of all of us on a full scale is so important. But what I learned too was some of what I did in my early parts of healing were kind of band-aids. So I'm living this high intensity life because I have this trauma inside. So I run and I do aerobics, or I learn to rethink my thoughts, and that all helps me relax and feel better in my body. But I could still get triggered because the actual root problem of the trauma is still in there. I've just kind of band-aided over it and learned to suppress it and learn to feel better in it. But say something happens and I have a conversation with my husband and I'm like, rah, because somehow my little child just got threatened by something he said. And it like, whoa, this came out of nowhere. No, it didn't. It's the child responding to the perceived threat that those hormones and that energy and that density is still in my body. So I help people get it out of the body, complete the wave, remove it, heal, and come into a safe, relaxed place in the body where we're meant to be whole and connected and vital.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I so love that, Sharon. That's awesome.
It's such an honor and privilege to support and help facilitate people moving through into a different state. Because as you know, when you're not in a great state in your head, you now aren't in your body either.
Oh, yeah.
And all of us, we don't recognize how much our body runs the show. Our body is always informing our brain. And then our brain tells us, our body is telling us how we're feeling and what's happening. Mm-hmm. And our brain, yeah. And our gut, our second brain is telling our brain, this is what's going on. And so people, you know, drinking, drugs, caffeine, these are all things we do to feel better in our body. You know, all mm-hmm. kinds, almost every Gabor Mate, who I love, says that every addict was a traumatized child, which I believed that my whole life. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to put the Band-Aids on to feel better. You know, we're mm-hmm. just trying to feel better in our body.
Yeah, no, that's so right. Well, you know, it's when you were talking about the whole what our mind and connecting with our body, with how our body can respond to what's going on. I just want to give you an example real quick, because I talk a lot about, you know, removing the toxicity, like relationships that's been a really difficult thing for me throughout the years, is standing up and being like, okay, like people can't treat you poorly. It's not okay to, you know, do this or do that. But this, like a few, the specific example, this person was so toxic to me that every time I would see them, like my actual blood pressure would go up. And after I would see them, I would have a migraine for the entire night, and it would wipe me out for the rest of the next day. And so for that, I mean, that's a huge, I mean, after that happened, and then that person is no longer, I don't interact with them anymore because of that. They're no longer there. It's just, it's amazing how much of a change there is now with me, where there's a huge difference, is, you know what I'm saying?
I do. And I experience that. So in my work, I help people build a relationship with their body, because when we've been traumatized, which could create all kinds of dissociations, we don't trust our body. We disassociate from it, but our body mm-hmm. is always keeping us safe, always, in every way. Even though we think it's betraying us, it's telling us something's wrong. And so mm-hmm. I start to help people develop a relationship, trust their body. And so your body was telling you, this isn't a safe place for me to be. Mm-hmm. You know, your gut probably was acting up. You had, you know, the toxicity. And those were, and then the migraine and all of this stuff is your body telling you, this person isn't safe for me. And really, in order to heal ourselves, we need to be safe. So you have to eliminate the places where you're not safe, the people that you're not safe with. They have to go away for you to make and create a safety net where you can relax and really come into your integrated whole being. And mm-hmm. once you start finding the power and the healing of being in that state, you aren't going to sacrifice it for anybody else, right?
You know, you're right, Sharon.
You're gone,
you're
buddy.
Totally right. Yeah, seriously.
You're not taking this away from me. My peace, my calm is my power. And mm-hmm. I'm not giving that up for anybody.
Mm-hmm. That's, oh my gosh, that's so true. Because here's another thing, just from my experience, you know, I've had some real, my dealing with bipolar disorder, it's been pretty severe. I've been to the point where I don't know if I would have been able to be where I am now in terms of living independently and so forth. And my last episode, it's just interesting how this all connects, because my last episode was back in 2016, my last manic one. And around that time, those triggers, those particular people they've been in my life for quite a while. That's when I decided, yeah, enough is enough. And I cut those relationships out. And it's interesting, Sharon, since 2016, I mean, I've gone up, I've gone down, but I haven't had a full blown manic episode. I haven't had a full blown depressive episode. And I was talking to my wife about that yesterday. We were just like, isn't that interesting how those people are no longer here? And, you know, now you're able to kind of, so yeah, it just, what you say completely resonates.
And what you are telling me, my dear friend, is you have built a resilient nervous system, because we are meant to, like the tiger, we're meant to face the tiger, deal with the threat, come back down, be okay, heal. But yeah, when we've had trauma or we've had incidences where we can't do that, we suffer mentally, emotionally, physically. And what you're telling me is you've built a wonderful nervous system that's letting you come up, letting you come down, but keeping you in a healthy state. And you're also allowing safety to be in your life, where you know you're safe, you can come into the body and heal in a safe place. How wonderful for you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Well, Sherry, this is so cool. You know, the other day too, as kind of like a side note thing, that when I, you know, I'm in these groups for bipolar disorder online, and, you know, I do most of my stuff on my advocacy online. And this one lady I was speaking with, she said, isn't it weird how, like, when you get to a good spot where I'm going to try to explain this, so I hope you can follow. But basically, throughout the years, I've been able to feel an episode coming on, or, you know, going up or going down. And she, like me, she said, have you ever felt now where you're at, and you're in a good, healthy spot to manage, where you feel like, man, I should be going completely manic now. Like I feel like I should be up there, but I'm actually, you know, I'm lower than that. I'm not full blown. And I completely agreed with her, because it's such a weird feeling to be like, wow, like I should be feeling manic, but I'm able to cope. I'm able to manage. I'm able to get through this. So does that make sense? I don't know if I explained it well. I'm trying to make it clear.
Well, in my understanding, I totally understand it, because the manic is the really high activation, which I used to love to be in. I mean, that was where I was powerful and strong, and I don't have bipolar. In fact, I've been blessed with being in such a great place of healed, because I could have been a completely different person from my childhood, from who I am. But I do. I experienced obsessive compulsive. I experienced all kinds of behaviors. I married a narcissist. Unhealed trauma can manifest as self-destructive behavior, people pleasing, codependency, needing external validation, living in fear, need to prove myself, perfectionism. I was big. Wow. I wasn't an addict, but that's huge. Chronic stress and anxiety, but those are states of the nervous system. So manic to me is just a super high activated state, which is scary, because you're just on the verge of possibly freeze, of disassociating, of so much energy. Your nervous system says, hey, buddy, I got to take over for you, because it's done automatically. The reptilian brain says, we can't survive. If he keeps up this stuff, we can't do it. So we're going to either shut him down, or, you know, disassociate, or freeze you into tonic immobility is what we call the freeze state. Okay. Just like an animal, tonic immobility. They play dead, but usually their nervous system is resetting, coming back down, so they can go off and be normal and fine.
No, that makes complete sense, because even like throughout my life with the practitioners, the doctors that have helped me, they're always telling me you have to protect that mania part, because the further you go up, the further you go down. And so that I was going to ask you, though, is something that came to mind, a question, excuse me. It was when you said that your body can't, is telling you, like, you can't stay up at this state. Do you, like, I'll get hallucinations. I'll get delusions too. Is that, I was just wondering in terms of the high intensity of, you know, our brain is activated. Is that a way that our mind copes, is, do you think, with the hallucinations, the delusions, and so forth?
So there's a lot I can say, whether it's true or not for you, I don't know. But I mm-hmm. know that in trauma and in experiences, the left and right brain don't connect so well. And trauma is held in the right brain. And with a lot of trauma, we get into the left brain and learn to be logical and rational and try to cope that way. And our body, and this is how I differ with a psychologist or psychiatrist or a social okay. worker, is the brain doesn't run the show. And that's what I try mm-hmm. to teach. There are more efferent nerve endings from our body coming through the vagus nerve to tell our brain what's going on. There's only mm-hmm. 20% that say, brain, tell the body what to do. There's 80% mm-hmm. of the body bringing in neuroceptive, interoceptive, and all kinds of neurological information to tell the brain, hey, how am I feeling right now? Mm-hmm. And that's all, again, automatic. That's what, you don't know okay. what's happening. But if your mm-hmm. body is sensing, this is how I'm taking what you said. If my body is feeling all this electricity and all this activation, it's going to send a signal up to your brain and tell you, you know, yeah, hallucination, maybe. Disconnect, mm-hmm. maybe. You might have the corpus callosum brings our right and left brain together. And as a male, yours is actually smaller than females. So you mm-hmm. might just be trying to deal with all this electrical information, which is overwhelming, coming up into the brain and overwhelming you.
That makes so much sense. Yeah.
Yeah, to me, that's how totally I see it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was diagnosed back in 1999 with bipolar disorder, and my psychiatrist that diagnosed me originally, I loved her. She was so amazing. She dealt with MS. And so she was able to, she was always telling me, well, I can empathize with, you know, trying to deal with your quality of life. She really understood how big quality of life was for me. And she was the first one that introduced me to, at that time, it was, I think you were saying the microbiome, they were talking about like the gut and how it interacts with the brain. And she was, you know, as a psychiatrist, she was really into like the scientific, you know, like the studies, you know, they have to have the clinical support and stuff like that. And she told me, she just said, throughout the years, John, to come, watch that, really focus on, you know, your choices, what you, that your food choices, what you bring in. And she was the one that kind of first planted that seed in my brain back then. Wow. And she was, I mean, she was one of the most amazing people because she just, yeah, I can't say enough good things about her because she was just, she went back to school, you know, she started out and she, her story, I mean, I could talk, you know, that would be another whole episode, but she just went through so much. And then to be able to help people like me and, you know, patients, you know, get through and manage their mental illnesses. And like for me, bipolar disorder, she was so instrumental in that. So though you talking now about the connection and like clearly stating how it, you know, it is connected. It makes a lot of sense to me. It really makes sense. I connect to it really well.
And in response to what you're saying, I so agree. She was way ahead of her time because the microbiome is a fairly new understanding. So good for you, because in my ability, I kind of take everything in like a Maslow hierarchy effect. If you're uh-huh. physically not feeling well, then you're not going to care too much about them. It's going to affect you mentally and emotionally. And mm-hmm. our physical aspect is so important. And people don't really understand how important our gut in our microbiome is to every single interaction our body has to have, our nourishment for our mind and our body, and everything happens here in the gut. Our nourishment to good thoughts and feel good hormones happens in our gut. Our ability to really be a healthy human being physically happens in our gut. And so to me, that's like number one, too. It's like what you put in your gut and build good microbiome and microbes so that you can become healthy is one of the first places to start, in my opinion, because you're not going to care about coming into a different state if you're feeling awful all the time. And that's why trauma is so important. And sometimes what people have to, usually it's the last thing they do. I'm not feeling well. I'm not feeling well. I tried this and this. The last thing they do is the trauma stuff. But the trauma stuff is so important because, as I stated earlier, the first thing to get shut down when you're not safe is the gut. The first thing that gets compromised, the cortisol ruins the gut microbiome, peels off the gut lining, and that high state of cortisol just keeps you in a terrible state, as well as all the elevated hormones and everything else that doesn't allow you to heal. So trauma really needs to be getting in there to get the body in a healing state, because parasympathetic is where we heal.
Yeah. Just real quick, back to your point about how you're, you know, if your body's not feeling good, like how are you going to get up to deal with the mind? I've dealt with that specifically with, side effects of medication. A lot of people are constantly asking me, you know, they're saying, you know, I gain all this weight, you know, I feel, you know, here I am depressed, and then they give me a medication and it makes me gain 40 pounds. And then I feel even worse. And so, you know, for me, I'm not a doctor. I can't, you know, give actual medical advice about the drugs and so forth. But for me personally, in my what I do, I do not take medications anymore that will make me gain weight, you know, and that's been my personal decision. There are some that are really powerful that I'll take for a short time, but I haven't had to take those since 2016, you know? Thanks, Sharon. That your whole point about that, I think that's a clear difference between what you're doing and this, like the medical community is doing now, I think, because a lot of them are saying, you know, I've heard it personally throughout my years. Well, wouldn't you rather be, you know, overweight than be suicidal? And I'm like, well, how can I cope then if I'm not able to, if I feel maybe I'm not suicidal, but then my quality of life goes down the tubes and I can't function day to day because I'm physically, you know, I'm a shorter guy. And so when I gain 50 pounds, my quality of life, I could barely stay awake. I could, you know, I was breathing heavy just to go up the stairs. And that's not me. From what you know, like, you know, following each other, I love being active. And that was just not okay for me. So that's such a clear difference from what the philosophy of actually dealing with the root of the trauma. And like now, and just another thing I want to bring up, maybe you have some ideas about this, because my wife just read this book. It's about a family who had 10 children here in Colorado. It's a true story. And it takes place, I think it was in the 50s or 60s. I just wrote an article about it, where we were in the mental health with, you know, back then, and how we are today, you know, with JFK with his Mental Health Act and so forth. Yeah. And that, my wife reading this book, I'm going to read this book now. I just have, you know, she just finished it. But she said it's so interesting because 6 out of the 10 kids were diagnosed with schizophrenia, and they all went through this similar trauma or the same trauma, but some of them didn't have the schizophrenia, but then 6 of them did. And they're doing studies, I don't know the specifics, but the whole idea about trauma, we were talking, well, why would someone why would they get 6 of the kids get schizophrenia, but then 4 don't? Because if they're experiencing the same trauma, the same physical, sexual, all that sort of thing. And so, I didn't know if you had any ideas about that.
I have an insight and a perspective on that. And I started out with that too. Trauma isn't an event. It isn't what is happening. Mm-hmm. It is this nervous system capable of handling it? So I would assume, since the nervous system has to have years to ventral vagally build. Oh, okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. No, I'm not hearing you either.
Amy?
Oh, I just got you.
Okay, cool. Okay. So, I heard that you saying, reiterating that trauma is not just an event. Okay.
Right. It's each individual's nervous system, and if it can handle it. So the younger people that didn't have enough time to ventral vagal create probably had to deal with other more traumatic experiences. And so maybe it was the older people, but it doesn't matter. Even if it was myelinated, is this person capable of handling this overstimulation and these violations and these experiences? And we're all different, and we all created different, and we all have, our systems myelinated differently. Mm-hmm. So it's really a personal longing. So it's like, I don't have to know anybody's story. I have to know your nervous system and how much activation is in there to help release it and get it out. Because like you said, this one person probably got a little stimulated and went on to be fine. But this person was so overstimulated that they started, having a lot of disassociation and issues. Yeah. So, I think that's very likely for that to happen, because it's not about the experience.
That makes sense. Excuse me. But wow, this is so awesome, Sharon. It's been great. It's been great, like, connecting with you finally and getting your ideas and connecting some of the dots for me personally, for myself, because my journey, it's like the past 4 or 5 years, I've really been focusing on just being like, okay, I'm fine with who I am. People can take me or leave me, whatever, and that's taken a lot of practice, but it's been so freeing for me. So I don't feel bad about, sharing things and being transparent so I can help others. I've been through this, and these are things that have helped me, but at the same time, I've never wanted to come across as like, this is the way to do it. This is step by step, because we're so different. Like, I wrote an article about there's no cookie cutter approach to treat bipolar disorder. Because we're so different. We're so unique biologically. And from what you're saying, I know it's so true.
And everybody's nervous system is unique and different. So therefore, when you were talking about, I don't want to be on these medications because of the side effects, but what your nervous system needs to feel good. It needs activity. It needs to be able to move. And those are beautiful ways of regulating your nervous system. Because when you're traumatized, you're dysregulated. And if that was taken away from you, you would be in a way worse state.
Yeah. So
it's about, how are we going to regulate ourselves? And we always know how we're feeling. We know what color we like. We know. One of the first things I did was to have somebody you know, enter into a new space and orient. And what do you notice that feels good to you? We know this inherently if we aren't cut entirely off from our body, which can happen with severe trauma and a nervous system. But we know how we feel. We know what we want. We need to build a trusting, loving relationship with ourselves so we can honor that and do what we need to do to stay healthy, be safe, and create a world of what we want passionately in our life. It's so beautiful. And I want to say this, and I hope you don't mind, but healing is my passion. And I have a YouTube channel where I have so many meditations and simple coping strategy and detox stuff and yoga stuff, but just a lot of tools, you know, that people can use just to start to reset themselves and understand themselves. I just started Sharon Teaches Trauma. So I think I'm on number 5 of that, but it gives you little ideas of what's going on in my nervous system.
I'll make sure to put the your link to in the description of this so people can find it. Yeah, because that's awesome. Tools? Yeah,
you know, if they just start once an hour saying, "Oh, check in with myself. How's my breathing? I've got some breathing, a bunch of breathing series. You know, how can I reset my nervous system and feel better in my body?" And the breathing instantly informs the brain whether I'm safe or not. And we can change our physiology in 10 breaths or less if we're paying attention and being aware. And those tools will just start to make you think, I need to pay attention and I'm important and let's see how I'm doing.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it, Sharon. Well, is it, I don't know if there's any last thoughts you'd want to leave with. I mean, I don't know if there's anything specific that you would think like, oh, I want, you know, whoever's listening, I want the last thing I want them to hear is this.
Well, I think I do. And it's, you know what, you are really important. You are pure potential possibility. You're meant to be the best that you want to be. Don't let anything stop you. You are deep inside, full of love. And please go out and make the best life for yourself in all forms. Become whole and integrated, alive and vital, and the best person you can be, creating a unity between your body, your spirit, and everything in between. You deserve it and you need it. And this is the time to do it. This is the time.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. Oh, I'm so glad we've connected. I love what you do. I love you. You're just an amazing person. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me.
Oh, I so thank you for the invitation. You're a wonderful host. I'm so happy. I give you a big kiss.
Yeah. Okay. Take care, okay?
Okay, take care. Bye now.
If you found this podcast episode helpful in any way, please consider pledging financial support to me and my mission of empowering those of us living with bipolar disorder. Your pledge allows me the ability to record these episodes and provide them to you. Thank you for your consideration.